This is a Resonance FM podcast. If you enjoy the unique nature of Resonance FM programming, please support us on resonancefm.com.
Kuchek,
smaller.
Kuchektar,
smallest.
Kuchektari.
Six plus to pleasure.
I'm joined today by Nasreen from Persian Voyages, the travel company based in Surrey that deals with package holidays and itinerary holidays in Iran. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Please tell us about your company and how it started.
All of our family are in tourist business, especially my eldest brother. He was a guide a long time ago before revolution, and he had such a passion and enthusiastic for tourism. And he was working hard to take back tourism to Iran. Even when it was a war with Iraq and everybody was hiding in a cellar, he was looking at different itinerary and different interests for tourism. And as soon as the dust settled, yes, in 92, he had everything ready and he started his own company in Iran. But I was here, I was doing MSc. And at the same time, I was looking for a job. Some people called me because they knew us, just they wanted to go to Iran. Mm. And I sent some people. And after that, more people came and sort of I went into it.
That's very organic.
Yeah, so everything was there ready back home. The agency had all facility. And my job, it was only to book here. Mm. And apart from my eldest brother, my other brother, he's a tour guide, which is won twice the best guide in Iran. And five of my niece and nephew, they work in this area.
What kind of guides was your brother giving? What was he doing?
No, he's a tour guide, means cultural, you know. When
in the mountains, in the cities?
No, we have different tours. Some guides, they are like a professional just for cultural, you know, they explain monument, history, and they have this knowledge. And some of them, they go to the mountain, they are mountaineering, and they have knowledge to find a way.
I can understand why people who'd never been to Iran would come to you and ask for help getting a journey planned. But why would an Iranian want to go on an itinerary tour?
Why Iranian want to go?
What reason?
The Iranian. Mm. Most of our clients are European, American, and English. I think Iranian people who've been in here for a long time, or America, suddenly, especially when they are older, they get interested in the history of Iran. Mm. And I think, you know, everybody is busy, so in a guided tour, we know where to take them and give them enough knowledge, and they get to know the country better in organized tour. But our clients mainly are English, American, and European.
And what kind of stories have you got back from people who've been?
I get a lot of stories, but I think one maybe is not funny, but I thought it's funny because all the people, I have to say, a little bit worried to go to Iran.
Naturally,
you know, about people, you know, because they don't have any understanding. It's just here is the media is so bad about Iran that they think, you know, they might be harassed by Iranian people, I mean, local people.
Or kidnapped or something.
Maybe they think maybe people, they don't welcome them, you know, in that way. And then I had two clients, a couple, they wanted to go to the mountain. And they were a bit like a warrior. In the middle of nowhere was a shepherd. That was a huge man, you know. They were a bit worried, you know, and cautious. And then suddenly he started shouting, "I love you!" And they were so surprised. I thought it's quite funny. The way the most interesting thing is just, especially when the war with Iraq started, people were a bit worried. Just because of that, just to maybe Iranian people, they don't like Western.
Yeah, but he was shouting, he was proclaiming his love very loudly.
I know.
Never even been introduced to them.
I love. He's a big man, but I think different culture. Maybe he, you know, I think for English, it's just funny. Some a man, big man, called the other man, "I love you."
Maybe that was the only English he knew as well.
Maybe in that area, yeah.
So what's your favourite area of Iran?
I studied, I feel like, something to do with the nature is my study in university in Iran.
Like biology, zoology?
No, we have like a plant pathology, but we looked at a plant, you know, plant, animals, insects, you know, entomology. And when I came here, I knew that Iran has such a beauty, from natural beauty, to offer to tourism. Mm. And I think I was the first one who in England who initiated ecotourism.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We sent some, because I was in the, you know, I was studying in west of Iran. It's a mountainous mountain and mountainous area. And I was born in west of Iran, which is, and I knew, you know, I had a feeling that it is something beautiful to offer. And we have somebody, ecologist, we sent for 1 month just to look around, just to have a view. After that, we had some interest to go to look at the beautiful. Yeah.
Do you think that the more people who go on these tourist holidays, it will strengthen the case for having huge areas of nature in Iran? Or do you think it's going to contribute to it becoming more built up, more developed, like all the other countries in the West?
You mean tourism?
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, you know, you ask me what I'm interested. I am interested in natural beauty of Iran. But 90%, they go for the architecture. History, architecture, and culture, 95% of people to visit. I think already Iran is extended because for its own population. It's not because of tourism. It's still in May, I had clients, they said still, you know, there were only people in the site. Hmm. It's not like a huge number of people going. Hmm. It's getting larger, but I don't think it's very far to tourism has an effect.
I don't think many people are exposed to some of the things that Iran may offer in terms of natural beauty, because obviously when you think of Iran, you think of the history or the carpets, the produce. So what kind of things could Iran offer?
Yeah, I think, as I said, natural beauty is not the main thing at all.
No, but I mean, I'd like to know more about
it. Architecture. I think that it is amazing architecture. Iran has 8 sites, which is recognized by World Heritage Sites.
By what?
World Heritage Sites. Recognized as World Heritage Sites. And not many other countries has this number. Like the mosque in Isfahan, most people who go, so they say the most beautiful building in the world.
Where does that date from? Is it 11th century?
16th century. 16th century. Yeah, 16th century, yeah. And Persepolis itself, you know, it was like 2,500 years ago, Persepolis.
Yeah.
2,500, yeah, 300 BC.
But then also I was reading on your site all these amazing things. There are snow leopards, there are all kinds of animals and plants and things that you don't see, salt lakes, salt plains. There's so many things to see that you never hear about.
It's Iran, very high upmarket destination. People who had highly educated, they are mainly interested to go to see these places. Mm. And there are many tulip bulbs comes from Iran originally.
All right.
And people, you know how English people are into gardening, they are obsessed. They like to go to see the environment. And I think some of them survived from Ice Age.
Some of the plants?
Some of the bulbs, yeah.
Oh, wow.
From Ice Age, yeah. And they like to go to see it, where it grow.
Do they have saffron fields? What do they have?
They have saffron comes from Kirkus, but there are fields in Mashhad, northeast. Mm. We don't go to visit that. But in wild, you can see some of them. But it's not the one they use saffron. It's just a species that...
Wild?
Wild species. You have to look for it. Yeah, it comes when it is a snow, a little bit of snow, it's almost melting. Mm. The flowers...
Is there a lot of undeveloped land in Iran?
There are. Yeah, unfortunately, when I went after like 13 years, there were some buildings, you know, going out, up to the mountain, which is, I think, is a shame. Mm.
But isn't that happening all over the world?
Yeah, all over the world, yeah.
Like, we're cementing over the whole world.
Yeah, no, yeah. But that wildness of mountain is very beautiful.
So what kind of tours do you offer? You offer eco tours, heritage tours?
Yeah, we do mainly cultural tour.
So you plan everything, even from the visa?
Everything,
to the permission, even for where you're going to watch the dance? Oh, there's no dancing, is there?
No.
No female
only private.
Dancing? Oh, private, yeah. Can you arrange those kind of things?
To go inside the houses? Mm. Sometimes, yes, if they want. But as I said, mainly historical site, cultural, but we put a skiing tour as well because ski in Iran is getting popular, especially wild ski, you know, not on piste wild ski.
Oh, quite dangerous.
Yeah, but the people who go, they have
insurance.
I hope not. But insurance and also, you know, they have been other places as well.
Other experience.
Yeah. And we do a nomadic tour because there are some nomads that the way of life remained the same, like from ancient time. And some people are interested to go to see these nomads. So,
did you ever go and see the nomads?
Nomads, when I was in Iran, yes. Mm. With horse riding, of course.
That sounds amazing. So how can people find out more about what you offer?
We put on website, we are recommended. Sometimes national newspaper write about our company. Mm. Like Dom Jolly, if you know.
Yes.
I don't know if you know.
Yes. He writes for The Guardian now.
Observer is the same company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he went with us. He went with us for a ski tour, actually. So he wrote two pages, which was good. And Baz Mark, I don't know if you know him, he's a director of Moulin Rouge. He went with us because he was making a film about Persepolis.
All right.
I'm not sure if he made it, but he went there. And we have a very good word of mouth. Many people, when they go, as soon as they come back, they book the next phone.
They're getting addicted.
Yes.
What if someone was quite, obviously, you know, it's costing about £1,000 to go for a 2-week package holiday. So do you arrange holidays for people without much money, maybe students and so on, who can work or stay in less expensive places? Or
They can get visa only. We can get only visa for them, and they can go by public transport if they like, and cheap accommodation. But as soon as you book a car with driver and guide, that take the cost up.
Oh, that's the main thing, is it?
Yeah, I think so. And hotel recently, inflation is a bit high now. When it was very cheap, nobody was going. Now is inflation is a bit high. Now it's getting more popular.
It's the fashion.
Yeah. Now it's almost 10 years I am working. When I started, I said, who might be interested? But every person who came back, he said, this is the best holiday they had.
Great. And what's your garden like? Is it full of amazing bulbs? And
Not really.
Would you like to recreate a Persian garden? Because Persian gardens are very important, aren't they? Garden is an important part of it.
Yeah, I think it's claimed that some of this garden design comes from Achaemenid Persepolis before. It's very important. From the point of view, like Iran, you know, like as a tourist attraction, I don't know if you know Dan Krukshai. He's a travel presenter, and he recently presented around the world in 80 treasures. And he said, I lost my heart in Iran. He said, people are terribly welcoming and friendly.
So why is everyone so frightened to go? What's the danger? Is it?
What happened is the media had a role of this negativity. Maybe Iran had a difficult period as well.
Mm. Do you think it's safe now? It's
from the point of tourism, it's safe. Have you ever heard anybody, you know, as a tourism? No. The government put a lot of money for tourism.
Oh, really? They're trying to encourage?
Yes. They go to different exhibitions all over the world, travel exhibition. Before, like a long time ago, we have like a small stand privately. But now they organize in all exhibition huge area for Iran. Mm. And before, but like a bit
negligible.
Yes, yeah. But this year in Berlin, we had live music with the ladies playing. I was impressed, actually. They were quite colorful. It was very nice to see them. I think this year they come to World Travel Market in England.
Are you going to go to that?
Yeah, we always go.
Great.
10 years. I know that when they go there, as soon as they arrive, they change their mind.
Mm. So you'd advise me to go, would you?
Yes.
All right,
there
then.
There is no reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, please tell us your website so we can have a look.
Okay, it's www.persianvoyages.com.
Okay. Thanks for joining us today, Nasreen. It's been a pleasure.
Welcome. Thank you.
So I'm talking to Zohra from Magic Carpet Travel in Ascot. Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Please tell us about your business.
Yes, I started about 15 years ago after a trip to Iran for myself, and I thought it was a fabulous place and other people should see it. And it was a bit of a crazy idea. Nobody should necessarily want to go to Iran. But yes, it's gradually evolved, and now enough people want to go to Iran, and we organize trips for them, do the visas, as you said, and suggest places, in fact, where even a lot of Iranians don't go, sort of the nooks and crannies of Iran, along with the main, you know, points of interest. We take the pain of organising and the worry of possibly going somewhere where Israel possibly might be bombing, which it never has and it never will, I think. And yes, and everyone comes back having a fabulous time and totally surprised by one thing, which is how friendly the people are. And that's the kind of the overriding message that comes back, that how fabulously friendly the Iranians are.
So when you first went there 15 years ago, you said in the early 90s, was the situation much different?
It was a lot more strict, but, you know, the place is still the same, the monuments are the same, and the people are the same. The rules are a bit different, but they've loosened up a lot. And since, you know, Khatami, the very liberal president, was around, things are much easier, especially for the young people. So the place looks a lot more cheerful. It's just simply not what people think and what they read about in the media. It's a place like any other, just more beautiful.
So people are very friendly to foreigners, are they?
They are, and lots of Americans, in fact, go to Iran on holidays, and they adore them. You know, America's always been like a big thing with Iranians. They just think everything's better and bigger in America. And that feeling has still stayed. So they, in fact, you know, the man on the street adores anything to do with America. So they're very friendly, and they're very curious, and they're just curious about foreigners, but in a, you know, in a really friendly way. And they're, in fact, you know, there's an Iranian expression, they say, you know, a guest is a gift from God. And so they really do treat people with respect, and they're very pleased. They take it as a matter of personal pride that you've come to visit their country. And in fact, that's how I feel about it as well. And, you know, you take someone to your country, to your patch, and you've got to make sure they have a good time and they see the best.
That sounds great. So has it been a personal voyage of discovery for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think when I left Iran, it was just before the revolution, literally kind of bundled out the country, and I think a big part of me was left there. And so for me, it's a very personal thing. So when I say to people to go to Iran, it's like, you know, I'm sending them to my house and to my parents. And I feel that way about it. People feel this and people know this. And when you show them what there is, that things that they can't necessarily see if they go on their own. And I'm not saying this because they go on tour, but you just go and see something and say, you've really got to go and see that because it's brilliant. And they feel that you mean it and that it is really good and unusual. And I've travelled the world a lot, which is why I realised Iran was such a special place.
So what kind of package tours have you been offering? What specific things?
People, depending on how much time they've got, we sort of do a week's trip, which includes the highlights, which are Isfahan and Shiraz, and then two-week trips where people have an experience, and there's some nomadic tribes in Iran, and we offer the opportunity to stay with them for a couple of nights camping, or you go to northwest Iran on the Caspian. You know, we get the opportunity of going to see where caviar is prepared, or just people, you know, there's things which are famous about Iran, but like pistachios and saffron and all these things, you know, I think it's really good to put the name to the place. Just take people somewhere where they can go to the fig plantations.
Did you say fig plantations?
Yeah, and it's very commercial. You go to Dubai and you've got the Bedouin tents and sort of all this belly dancing, etc. But the experience in Iran is always completely genuine, and it can happen or not happen because it just sort of depends what's happening on the day. But people that do come to Iran really understand this. They're open-minded and they go for the experience, whatever the day offers.
When you're working to arrange for them to host some tourists, how do you find them? Because obviously they're always on the move.
Yeah, it's very complicated, which is partly why the trips can be expensive. And somebody actually has to go and trace them 2 days before. There's a lot of permissions from the province police, etc. We have to ask permission if we can stay with them. Somebody goes the day before, puts the tents up, and, you know, they share a meal and a day with them, just sort of see what they do, just experience their life for a day, and then come away. So, you know, a day's visit's worth about 5 days' work for us, but people come away completely blown away.
How did you set up such an amazing contact for the holiday?
Years and years and personal interest. I love it. It's what I love to do. It's my country, and you know, it's I'm proud of it because it's genuine still, and a genuine experience is worth everything.
So how do the nomads feel about people coming and staying just like that? The
nomads can be quite, yeah, I mean, that's difficult. So we have local agents, and then they will speak to a local person. The local person will speak to the chief of the nomadic tribe, and so they'll only speak to their own kind, like anywhere. And so that's how we do it. I mean, it's not me kind of ringing them up saying, can we? Yeah, so it's a very lengthy process, and people don't understand. Yes, But it's very difficult. It doesn't look it, but it is. And it's just to allow people to have a, you know, a real experience. It's complicated, but it's doable.
It's also hard to believe, because as you mentioned, Dubai, the Middle Eastern interest, also in Turkey, where they don't really approve of Sufis, but yet you can buy cups with Sufi whirling dervishes on and things like that. It's hard to believe that it's authentic.
Well, I know. I mean, that's right. And the government doesn't necessarily like the nomad thing, because historically the nomads have been a law unto their own, and they can still carry guns. And when the British came, you know, basically it was the British that encouraged the nomads to remove the regime, or just cause trouble anyway. So historically they've been, and in fact I had a weird experience when the first time I did a trip, like a recce, this man who spoke that they speak Turkish, that, you know, their own language, he kind of sidled up to me and he looked completely like he was from there. And he said to me, I was born in St. Mary's in Paddington, and so was his sister. And his dad was a chief of the tribe, and the British, you know, they paid for the chief's wives and kids to go to England while they wreaked havoc and, you know, gave them guns and money and stuff. So they are, and they're not very Islamic, they're not very religious at all, and they're kind of the true Persians, I suppose, if you like. So, yeah, it's authentic.
Yeah, it's a completely sort of organic way of looking at history. I mean, I didn't know that the nomads were paid to cause havoc. What year was that then?
Well, I guess it was sort of 50s over a few decades. It's just sort of the constant thing between the Brits and, you know, historically. Of course, it's more in words than anything else, because as I said, the people, I don't think it really matters where you're from. They're, you know, people are people. And you recognise that in each other, and when you want to put the politics aside, it's all the same. But the, I mean, the other thing for me, for Iran, is I've travelled a lot. And, for example, if you go to Egypt, if you go to Turkey, you know, a tourist, you just see the dollar signs popping up in people's eyes, trying to take your money and sell you things. And in Iran, I mean, in some cities like Isfahan, yes, they do that, but in the most sophisticated and, you know, classy way. And you think, okay, you know, if you're going to do that, I'm going to let you. But they really are genuinely interested in the people. And the whole reason for that is because the country's been closed for so long, so they really appreciate somebody, you know, taking a risk. I mean, we have, you know, couples in their 50s and 60s who say, don't tell my daughter I'm going away to Iran, because they think they're going to be shot or killed or whatever. And, of course, none of that ever happens. They come back absolutely delighted, just because the place has been kept out of the mainstream. Sort of, it's genuine.
Do you feel then, because that's what I would feel, is a great joy, obviously, doing this, but then at the same time, a sorrow that I was maybe partaking in the familiarisation of Iran, and then eventually it's going to erode, isn't it, and going to become much more westernised, or it's going to become like those cities that are used to seeing tourists a lot more?
Never, because if they have a really tight control over it. And the people can't go to Iran easily at all. You have to have visas, and they make it really hard, and those who make the effort to go there really appreciate it. But there's a tight rein. I mean, I say that. They're very easy on visitors, because, you know, they don't impose a... Well, yes, you have to wear a headscarf, but, you know, it's not a big deal. And so, no, I don't think so. I don't think in our lifetime, anyway. But the sad part is that it's the young Iranian people who are much more Western than the Westerners that go to Iran, and that's what always blows them away. But that's always been the case, and since I was a child, you sort of model something that you think is good, it isn't necessarily. And when you have something rammed down your throat, as the people who live there do with the Islamic Republic at some points, then you sort of take an opposite stance, and that's what's happened. So in fact, the Iranians are much more pro-Western, but at the same time, they are what they are, and they're never going to open their doors to tourism to a degree. Iran is a very rich country. They don't need the money from tourism. It's clear, you know, it's not like Turkey or Greece or whatever, where it's what they live on. And so they just do this side issue. And of course, you know, you've got the shrines of Iran. I think it's about the third or fourth most visited place for Muslims around the world.
The shrine, did you say?
Imam Reza, the shrine of Imam Reza in Mashhad. It's one of the most visited places. It's a pilgrimage place for Muslims around the world, with Shiites, really. And so they have an influx from that. It's never going to be like Turkey, because they don't need it.
Have you ever had any very strange requests for package tours? I mean, do you do bird watching?
Yeah, we do some bird watching, but yes, I mean, we have people go skiing in Iran. We've organised trips for sort of archaeologists and curators of different museums. And the most strange thing that just popped into my head was this lady. We used to do sort of pre-tour talks, and I was telling them about Iran, and she came up to me, and she was a GP from Yorkshire, and she said, you know, I thought I was going to Persia. Now you're telling me we're going to Iran. And I said, well, yes, you know, Iran is Persia. And she said, okay, well, I'll go because you said it's okay. But, it, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions.
You do a Zoroastrian pilgrimage, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And there's some amazing package tours that you do, horse riding in the Turkoman steppes and looking at the Asian cheetah in the national park and so on. And then you do winter sunshine ones, because people don't think maybe when you go swimming in Iran, you might have to cover your body.
In Kish, which is a sort of a duty-free island of Iran, and there is a beach where if you show your passport and you're deemed, they know you're not Iranian, you can, you know, men and women can be in their swimming costumes on this beach. And a lot of people from Dubai actually go to Iran, you know, for weekend, to Kish for weekend visits. But if you're an Iranian and, you know, you go to the Caspian beaches, then yes, there's a, unfortunately, there is a curtain about a kilometer into the sea where the women swim on one side and the men on the other.
What did you say it was in the sea?
There's like a curtain that they...
A curtain?
In the public swimming areas, they've got a curtain that's... It's very funny. And but in the public places, you know, you see women, you know, swimming with their rapuchas, which is the coats, you know, floating at the top, and they look like sort of an, you know, bloated seal. But, yeah, so nothing's ideal, but you don't go to Iran, you know, for sunbathing.
No, of course not.
Don't.
But you don't. You may not think about these things before you go. I mean, but in India, anyway, women wear kurta or saris in the water often, and it's quite normal for women to go in.
Yeah.
They wouldn't mind, I think, what other women wore. They might stare if you wore a bikini, obviously.
Yeah, it really is like going to another world. The cars are different, everything's different, the people are different.
And also, you do sand skiing tours.
Yes, we haven't actually had anybody do that.
Is it common to go sand skiing in Iran?
I think some mad Iranians do, but not. It's not a sort of a common thing.
So what would people wear on their feet when they went sand skiing? Don't know, snowboards?
Snowboards, thank you. It's snowboarding on sand.
All right. There's no scorpions or anything to worry about.
Yeah, yes, there are.
There are.
Well, no, I mean, around Kashan, yes. I mean, but yes, I mean, there's scorpions around there, but I'm sure you'll be fine.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating. So what would people do if they wanted to find out more about going on a tailor-made tour, or maybe just a tour that you assist them in preparing?
Best thing to do is to, I mean, they could have a look on our website, which is magiccarpettravel.co.uk.
Okay, and finally, where's your favourite place in Iran to visit?
It has to be Isfahan, because it's got everything. Beautiful buildings, lovely bazaars, it's got a river, you can sit and drink tea, there's fruit and dried nuts and plenty to eat and do, and carpets and people, and the hotel is amazing.
Isfahan is often mentioned in history, isn't it? It's kind of the romantic town place name that you remember from Iran.
Yeah, it's just, every time I speak to people about it, it really makes me want to go there.
How do people make their living in Isfahan?
In fact, Isfahan is the tourist centre of Iran for Iranians. You know, they travel there because it is such a stunningly beautiful place. And so they're all tradesmen, but historically they have been. I mean, Isfahan's been around for at least 1,100 years as a trading city.
Oh, thanks so much for talking to us.
It's a pleasure.
All right, then, all the best.
Thank you, and to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.